Good evening.
Hello,
good
everyone.
evening.
Hello.
We've nearly got a full house tonight. Welcome to the HRV
Whoa.
Hour.
Welcome indeed.
So, yeah, welcome to the HRV Hour on this Thursday evening. Thank you for joining us. We've got Stephen, we've got Sue, and we've got David in the house, as well as myself. Yeah.
And your good self, John.
And my good self, yes.
Don't forget yourself.
Yes, how are we all doing? Sorry, David.
Saving the best till last.
Of course, always, always. Should we go round the room? Who's well and who's not? Sue, how are you?
Is that me? So I thought you said Stephen.
Sue.
We both begin with an S, don't we, Stephen? I'm very well, thank you. I've just recently got back from Swindon. Swindon.
Right.
Yeah,
what
lovely.
What are you doing there?
Ooh, something very good. I attended a nurses, an adult nursing conference. About
wow.
50, we had an amazing HRV awareness. Yeah, it was amazing. Do you know when you know, Steve, you know what I mean, when you know a session has really gone well and you're getting loads of people
yeah.
coming up to you. And I had a lovely girl. She came up to me and she whispered in my ear. She said, I just want to let you know, my mum has been living with HIV for 26 years. And I said, thank you for sharing that. And that's just beautiful, isn't it? She didn't have to say that. She didn't have to let me know. But, and this is the power of the voice, isn't it, guys? It's the power of what we do on the radio, our voice, our speaking, our truth.
So
came back quite, I wouldn't say humble, but knowing that a job done, a good job was done. But just a bit about me.
It's nice to have those comments, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what about you, Stephen?
get all the S's out of the way.
Yeah.
So I was actually down in the same neck of the woods. So I was in Bath. So I think Bath is on the way to Swindon, or Swindon's on the way to Bath.
Yeah, somewhere like that. Yeah.
Somewhere like that. So I was speaking at my friends were doing the show Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens.
Wow.
Which was a great, great show that was written in the '80s. Again, a bit before its time, because it didn't last that long in London, because it was too raw. It was too, you know, it was still at a time where people were, you know, worried about going to see a show about HIV and AIDS, and would it, you know, would people think that they were, that they had it, you know, and that kind of thing. So it's been great that this theatre group in Bath had reprised this show. And they asked me to go and speak to the cast, which was so cute, because so many of the cast were in their 20s and, you know, had never even known, you know. And so, like yourself, came up and said, you know, it gives them a completely different view of HIV and AIDS and what it was and what it is now, you know. So that was great. So
are they touring then, Steve? Are they doing it in any other towns?
No, so it was just being done in Bath, Josh. So which is a shame, because it would be great because even, you know, it was a bit, you know, it's quite small, and, you know, but it was a great, great crowd of people who were just there to support and hear the stories, you know. So it was very nice. So we need to get that going, Josh. We need to get a tour of Elegies for Angels, Punks and Raging Queens.
Yeah, I was thinking that would be quite good, wouldn't it? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Want to watch.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what about you, David?
Last week, we'll be playing on the show later today, this evening. I interviewed a young man called Jordan Chan, who contacted the Beacon, and he's created a red ribbon calendar. And like you were saying, it was nice to hear, just to speak to somebody in their 20s and whose only reference really to HIV is programs like It's a Sin and other drama. So it just shows you the power of drama in being able to educate people, and also talking back to the 80s, you know, we've got the second part of Anne-Marie Watmore's interview when she was a nurse in the 80s and saw what was happening to people infected or living with HIV and wanted to make a difference. So, yes, it's been quite a reflective time. Yeah.
Mm.
Josh, what have you been up to?
Well, you're better to ask me. Sorry, I should say to the listeners, I had some bad news this week. So, yeah, my dad, my father passed away. So, yeah, it was just... And what have you been up to, Josh? Yeah, so it's right to the very start. So we're going to play a tribute to him later, just a little song or whatever. So, yeah. Yeah, so should we get on with the show? David, Ian did this next song, so could you just tell our listeners?
Yeah, so this is one of our listeners called Ian. He wanted to dedicate this song to his mum, Doreen, and the song is Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
And we'll come back, we'll be coming straight into the second part of Anne's interview, so we'll see you on the other side of that.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Oh, welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM in the Brighton Hove area and on DAB Plus Radio. If you've enjoyed the show, please tell your friends about it. And don't forget, you can listen to this again at the RadioReverb.com Listen Again page, which is RadioReverb.com/listen again. And about a week or so after it's been broadcast, we have a podcast which is downloaded from all over the world. So I'm just going to continue my conversation with Anne. Anne, where were we? We'd got to... Oh.
Well, we were sort of like in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yes, yeah.
And looking at how things had changed, mm-hmm. How people were becoming more aware. Mm. And I think at this time, Princess Diana went into a ward in London.
That was groundbreaking, wasn't it?
And actually sat with people and talked with them, held their hands, and the press went absolutely, look at this. The news forecast was everything, was saying, this is what should happen. And, you know, an accolade to her, because that made a huge break, I think, in how people were treated. Stigma still didn't disappear.
Yeah.
And I think that would always be something that is very hard to get rid of anyway. Some people are so bigoted, aren't they?
Yes, And after that leaflet campaign, which is, as we know, was fear-based, it takes a lot of reassurance to get rid of fears, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
And to have a princess, the most famous princess in the world,
to
hold the hand of somebody living with AIDS.
Absolutely.
Massive, must have improved the quality of people's lives living with HIV.
I'm sure
globally.
It did. Yeah, I'm sure
it
did.
It was a global
did.
Figure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And round about that time, I was doing, as I say, this course in London. And one of the things that I did do at the time was I spent a couple of weeks, I think 3 or 4 weeks, with a team at Buckingham Road in Brighton who were looking at HIV and dementia, because there sadly was crossing the blood barrier into the brain that time, and there was no treatment then. And then having to find places for these young men who had lost the ability to look after themselves. They had carers and young carers, but who had to work. And the only place for people to go at that time was a day centre in Hove. And, of course, it was a day centre for very elderly people with dementia. So it's very demoralising and demeaning. And I think it's round about that time when it became necessary to look at inpatient care and ongoing care. And I think it was round about that time that people were looking at Ward 6 at Hove and also a beacon. The lighthouse was the one in London.
That's correct.
So I'd spent some time there at the lighthouse in London as part of my course.
We'd
been there. excuse me. And then it was felt that we needed something like this in Brighton.
So Ward 6 was the first inpatient ward, wasn't it?
Yes.
In Hove,
Yeah, it was in the old hospital.
In the attic.
Right upstairs and then walked to the back.
Yeah, yeah. So mind your head on the...
Yes. Yeah, it was a small bit as well that you had to go through. Yes, good Lord. So that was again, another change in patient care. And I think eventually it transferred over to a ward when it faced the front of the hospital, didn't it?
So it was the Elton John Centre, which was a ward at the Brighton General.
Yeah, but there was also a ward at... the Sussex, the Royal Sussex.
Oh, really? Right.
There was a big ward there.
Yeah.
It was in the building that's been, was one of the first ones to be pulled down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I used to go and visit a friend there.
Yeah.
It was full of mischief, actually. Do not smoke in here.
Oh. Well, people could smoke in the rooms at the time, I remember.
Right at the beginning. But not in a hospital, you don't.
No.
You set the alarms off, don't you?
Yeah.
So he was adept at setting the alarm off.
Right.
I'm smoking in the toilet. Nobody will know, but they do because there's a lot of noise now.
Well, there must have been quite a bit of mischief.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's good because the humour, not laughing at themselves, but sometimes people would say, well, look, yeah, I don't really understand. And they'd make a joke, and not necessarily at themselves, but at the whole situation.
Yeah, life can be absurd sometimes, can't it? And, and humour's a fantastic medicine as well, if you can't. You know.
I mean, I look at it now, and I think back to recently when we had the lockdown, and I had to go to the hospital for an appointment.
Mm.
And I went in the April. As we locked down in the March.
Yes.
And I remember the consultant saying to me, well, it needs to be done. He said, but I'll have to see you, he said, after all this. He said, unless, of course, somebody can find a vaccine. He said, but we're years away from that.
Mm.
And I've never forgotten. It was January the 1st, wasn't it, the first vaccine?
Yes. Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this was in the April. How quickly did they get?
Yeah.
But some of it came from some of the AIDS research.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
So
research is research, isn't it?
It is, yes.
A very important factor.
We'll be talking about some research studies later on in the show.
Right.
There's one called the Sphere Study, which we'll talk about later. Which is looking at...
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But when I carried on, I just continued to... ensure that if nurses asked questions and they wanted to learn stuff, that there was places that nurses could go, excuse me, sorry, and that they would be given that education.
Mm.
And I don't think it's that people are ignorant. I think it's that if people genuinely don't know and come and ask, they should learn properly.
Yes, yeah. If you don't know and come and ask, then you want that information, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I got... articles like this came out of one of the things, sexuality and sexual health in nursing practice, and it became a really important document for nurses, because it doesn't just address ill people, it addresses how gay nurses sometimes are affected by their workmates.
Yes. Yeah.
And
homophobia.
Exactly.
Yes, yeah.
And by patients who
and patient visitors can be homophobic.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this addresses all issues like that.
Yeah.
And it became, as I say, well, it is a very important document today.
Mm.
I mean, for me, there was a personal touch as well. A very close friend of ours who went abroad. We went, where did we go? We went to Puerto Ventura.
Right.
Oh, thank you. I'm just going to have a drop of water.
Yeah, sure, you could.
Thank you.
We can pause at any time and start from where you left off.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, we went to Puerto Ventura, and on the plane, he was really poorly.
Right.
Really poorly. Mm-hmm. He had a bit of a temperature for a couple of days. So when we arrived, we were staying at a place called Los Gaviastas, which is just outside of Colalaca. So we had to get a taxi from the airport. By the time we got there, I was quite fearful for him. And so got in a taxi, went down to the hospital. And this was 94. This was April 94. So they took an x-ray. And I looked at the x-ray and I said, oh, Papa, he's got pneumonia in both lungs.
Oh, dear,
BCP. And I sort of froze. And then the nurse came out and looked at me and said, we're going to do bloods now. We need to do white cell count, etc. And I thought, oh, we're in Spain. Mm. And Spain at that time had this isolation policy.
Oh, really?
So I waited till she'd gone and I went into the office and God help me. I picked up the x-rays and I said to my friend, come on, we're going back to the villa.
Right. We
did a runner.
Yeah, yeah. I don't blame you.
And we went back to the villa and I went to pull a lecker, put him in bed and said to the other person I was with, you know, I'm going to get a doctor. I'm going to find a doctor. I'm going to take the x-rays with me. We need help. Mm. I was so fortunate. I found a fabulous doctor who looked at the x-rays and said, where is he? He came with me to the villa and I'd got my registration. Thank goodness I got my card with me. Mm. So he took me back to Kololeka and we got antibiotics, syringes. And for the first 10 days, I was administering his antibiotics every 4 hours. We got water bottles and cut the tops off of them so I could put a bleachy solution in so we could wash everything, toilets, sinks, everything. He had very bad night sweats and that's how I'd wash all the linen and hang it up each morning. The doctor came in 3 or 4 times. And then I couldn't get him to eat, so I went to the little shop and I got baby foods.
Right, yes, it's easier to swallow, yeah.
And started spoon-feeding him with baby foods. And after day 3, I managed to get some fresh fish and I, like, flaked it, put it in mashed potatoes. By day 5 of that, he was up and walking around, and I thought, thank God we've got 2 days and we've got to get that plane back. And the doctor came in and I'd put all my syringes and needles into a screw top jar, and he came the last day and he said to me, straight to the hospital, and I gave him this jar, and he said, you didn't throw them in the bin. I said, well, no.
Yeah, they're sharp, aren't they? Yes.
And he was so pleased. So when we got on the plane, we got on a Monarch. I've never forgotten this in all my life. I kept waiting for somebody at the airport because we'd had to give our passports in at the hospital, and that was one of the things I'd taken off the desk.
Right.
So I was waiting for...
Good job they hadn't photocopied them. And
I was waiting for the police to come up and say, you're under arrest.
Yeah.
I got on the plane and I gave... Sitting there, and I said to the stewardess, are we on British territory? She said, well, I suppose we are. I said, oh, could I have a bottle of champagne, please? And I opened it, and it went all over my friend. And I was just so glad, just so glad.
Oh, what a reason to celebrate. Fantastic.
Oh, I mean, as soon as we got off, we got a taxi from Gatwick and ended up at Brighton. And there I had a really... almost a blowout because the nurse had come to take blood. I'd handed in the x-rays and my friend was lying there and the nurse had dropped some blood on the floor. And I immediately thought, oh, my God, you know. And I just saw a student walking past and said, could we have some cleaning stuff, please? And she came over with a paper towel and no gloves.
Oh.
I just said, just stop, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I said, I'll clear it up. I said, no, you won't. I said, don't even think of doing that. What are you doing? And she said, well, I thought you want... I said, I do want it cleaned. I said, but please put gloves... bring over... Oh, and I thought to myself then, people still aren't listening to control of infection.
Yeah.
Mm. And I did chat with the sister at that time who was really apologetic and who did say that, you know, because it was so busy and that. Yeah. But that's, as I said, that's what happens. That's how things... So that was another experience.
Keep your standards, you know. Yeah. Can't drop them, can you?
Yeah. And I think they do. I mean, I think they do. You have, like, the hierarchy putting me in nursing. So you get people who know who should be teaching but who don't have that time because they're paperworking.
Yes, yes.
And it's a bit of a vicious circle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's, oh, not my job, it's his job or her job. Or, and instead of having people dedicated towards, you have contracted in staff who, that'll be an agency staff one day, an agency staff the next, and you can't always follow through because people don't have time to sit there and read the instructions or the manual or whatever.
Everyone does things so much more pressed for time these days.
It's
speaking of which, it's been lovely chatting to you. I'm afraid we're running out of time.
That's lovely.
I'd love to have you come back and tell some of your stories because you've got decades of experience from the sound of it. And have you chosen a second song for us, I believe?
Oh, yes. I hope you enjoy that one as well. It's Erasure's Blue Savannah.
Oh, fantastic. I remember I had it on cassette tape. So thank you very much, Anne. And
thank you.
Sure the listeners really enjoyed that. And here is Erasure with Blue Savannah.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIV Hour on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM in the BrightonArea.com online. You can also tune into our famous podcast.
Fabulous.
And don't forget, you can also contact us by emailing us at info@hivhour.org.uk. And our website with a list of previous episodes and latest episode is www.hivhour.org.uk. We just would like to say we're really grateful to Jack Russell Technologies for sponsoring the Hour show. And also a big thank you to Wave Community Bank, who are sponsors of Radio Reverb.
Fabulous. Brilliant. And I'll just say, if you want to donate, go onto the website and go to the donate page. And because we're a non-profit organisation, aren't we, guys? And we just we always need donations. Whatever you can afford, it will all help out to keep us on air.
Yeah.
Just to say, that was the Anne's choice, Blue Savannah Erasure, which is a great track, isn't it? And so good to hear her last part of the interview.
Yeah. It was lovely meeting her, actually. There.
Yeah.
But she's got more stories to tell as well. So.
Get her back on, guys. Get her back on.
Yes.
I think she enjoyed it, I think. Yeah, so that's good. So, see, you're going to want to talk about something, don't you?
I mean, David and I are just going to maybe sort of chat about, it rhymes, doesn't it? Chat about the stats. And we've got sort of just a few things to go through, haven't we, Dave? But I think obviously every couple of years, the Health Prevention England? Let me get that terminology right.
It's the United Kingdom Health Security Agency?
Yes, you're right.
You were right.
Yeah, I know. So obviously we need to know what's going on in the UK. So obviously some surveillance is done every few years to see what's going on with HIV, what communities it's still affecting, the stats on people's diagnosis and all of that. And there's some interesting finds. So it's done every couple of years because obviously it takes a while, doesn't it, to accumulate those statistics around the UK. And what's your update so far on it, David? Is it quite interesting in your perspective?
I think so. There's a lot of data to read, but just looking at the summary. We know that if you get tested regularly for HIV, get onto treatment and you become undetectable, you can't pass it on, and HIV is going to have a limited effect on your life. But we do know that people who diagnose late have quite serious problems. And what I hadn't in the past, people who diagnose late are 7 times more likely to die within 1 year. What surprised me is that now adults diagnosed late are 10 times more likely to die within 1 year.
Wow.
I'm not sure why that is. Perhaps the people who aren't testing are of an older generation, so they're presenting with more serious health problems. But it really does, it comes down to that horrible word stigma, isn't it? It's that people are scared to test, or they're unfortunate enough not to be in communities where the education about U equals U and HIV prevention can reach. And this is all looking at the 2030 goals of having zero new restrictions unless it was set by UNAIDS, the United Nations body. You know, we've got a lot. It was an ambitious target when it was set those years ago. Looks at the moment like we might not reach those targets, but we'd really need to do a really big push and reach the places that where the information isn't reaching. So we need to be maybe contacting communities and groups of people where HIV doesn't appear in conversation. So whether
let's just highlight some of the key new figures. Okay, so in the last couple of years, number of new diagnoses 3,043. So basically, that's it says we've got a minus of 4%. So we've had a slight decrease. But hang
on, that's good.
Yeah,
that's new. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, new diagnosis. Yes, this is in England. We haven't got the stats for Wales and Scotland, by the way. Oh, so these are England. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So number of people accessing HIV care 103689. So that's a plus of 4%. So there are more people now, which is good news. That more people are accessing care. Okay, so that's good news. Number of people newly diagnosed 2,773. So again, we've got a slight drop in people being diagnosed, less than four, it's minus 4%. So we've got a slight, in other words, we need more people being diagnosed. We've had a drop on the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Okay, number of people on PrEP. Now, this is interesting. 111,123. We've got a plus of 7.7%. So we're seeing more people, which is good.
Yeah.
More people on PrEP. So that's good. That's good. Number of HIV tests in sexual health services, 1,318,795. So we got a plus of 3%. Again, the pluses are all good news.
Yeah.
Percentage of new diagnoses that were late were 42%. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, that is slightly drop of 2% from the last two previous years.
Okay.
So what, an overview on the key facts. So there's some good news, but one of the things they're obviously highlighting a third year running, we're having an increase of people being diagnosed. Wait for it. You know what I'm going to say, in the heterosexual community. So third time.
Yeah.
So something's not getting across to these heterosexual communities. There's not enough information or awareness. I don't know.
What's the answer? Keep plugging, isn't it?
This is it. And I'm just going to get some more stats. I mean,
Stephen, did you have a comment about PrEP?
I was just wondering, Sue, if there was a breakdown of men and women, because I wondered if there was any increase in women on PrEP.
There is an increase. I haven't got the percentage, but there is an increase. There is an increase, which is good news as everyone knows, I'm a massive advocate for women in PrEP, and I'm posting and piping that every time I talk to people. So we are, and that was in the Black community, can I just say, which is good news, Stephen, right? So we're seeing more Black women access and PrEP, which is good news. Still not enough, but there's a small increase.
Yeah.
So that's good to see, something to work on, if you see what I mean. So, if you sort of break down the new HIV diagnosis in key adult population, white, gay and bisexual men, where we're slightly having a drop in that as well. because obviously, you know, they've been access and prep for a very long time. So that is still good news in that.
Yeah.
Ethnic minority gay and bisexual men. Again, that sort of level to what it was on the current, or on the 2 years before. I mean, Black African heterosexual women. So, again, we're seeing more diagnosis. So, basically, they come into test and getting that diagnosis, getting on medication, which, again, is good news. I mean, it's quite a lot of information, isn't it, David? So I'm going to try and sort of confuse our audience.
There is a lot of information. I mean, the details are available if you search the internet for... go to the Beaver website, bhava.org website. They have some sort of comments and details about it. But yeah, so I mean, sometimes you'd see that diagnoses are going up, and you think, mm-hmm. oh, that's a worrying sign. But actually, that's probably because the awareness has increased.
Yeah, and people are not coming to test more. Yeah.
So even though the diagnosis is going up, it doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. So sometimes these sort of layers of data need further explanation and, explanation. All good stuff. I mean, I think Professor Yvonne Galise had a comment about it, didn't she? She's been on the show, and I'll just quote Yvonne. It says, "No one should be diagnosed late today with effective testing available to all.
Yeah.
While it's good to see a fall in deaths from HIV and an increase in both PrEP usage and testing, we're clearly not reaching everyone, with particular concern towards ethnic minorities, women and young people. Disparities remain, and we must increase our efforts to achieve genuine equality in the HIV sector and to stand a chance of even coming close to our 2030 goals." So, that sort of paraphrases it quite well.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, we're going to have to talk to a song. If we had time, I was going to say there's a new little article about trans and gender diverse people often expect poor treatment at UK sexual health clinics and actively look for signs of inclusivity before accessing services, according to recent research. So it's interesting that something's it's related a little bit, isn't it? So people, they feel highly marginalised. Yeah. So they feel like they're facing levels of stigma, exclusion, discrimination and violence. So there's a study about trans and gender diverse people often expect the sexual health service are not designed to meet their needs. That's basically what it is. So
Yeah.
So there's a lot of little different things, isn't there, that we...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yes.
So we're going to go for a break. My dad unfortunately passed away on Sunday, so just wanted to play a song for him. And he was a lovely man, and very similar to loads over the last few years. I'm very similar to my dad. Oh. Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. But yeah, we had very, very similar sense of humour. I'm just laughing. So we're going to play My Way by Frank Sinatra, because he was a big Frank Sinatra.
Oh, classic.
Yeah, so here's to Madar, Clive.
97.2 FM, Radio Reverb.
So welcome to the HIV Hour on Brighton 97.2 FM and on DAB Plus Radio. I'm delighted to be joined at the Sussex Beacon by the CEO, Rachel Brett, and Jordan Chan. Hello to you both.
Hello.
Jordan, you're doing a whistle-stop tour in Brighton today, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Why are you in Brighton today?
So I'm in Brighton to meet the people behind the Sussex Beacon and to promote a calendar that I've created in order to raise money for the Sussex Beacon and the Terence Higgins.
Fantastic. Two great charities that we both know and love on the HIV Hour. Rachel, how did it come about you getting involved with Jordan on this calendar?
Well, Jordan reached out to us, thankfully. I think he probably picked us up on some social media, maybe related to us extending out to the LGBTQ hospice, which obviously some of the listeners will know is our ambition for next year to reopen the ward upstairs, which obviously some of the listeners may have been on, and with a future view to opening that up to the wider community.
And Jordan, this isn't the first calendar you've done, is it? So tell us about your first calendar and why you did that.
Yeah, so the first calendar I'd done was to raise money and awareness for testicular cancer via the Oddballs Foundation. Mm-hmm. So we sold over 200 copies, but it wasn't just about raising money, it was about raising awareness. So yes. In the calendar itself, there was a page to show men how to check themselves. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, if there was any abnormalities or any lumps and bumps, to go and get it checked out by their GP. So very much trying to raise awareness and raise money at the same time.
And how did your interest in testicular cancer come about?
So I was in the gym. So my mum had breast cancer. So originally I wanted to do it for breast cancer, but the take up of women wanting to do a calendar girl style calendar, there was a bit of nervousness around it because they didn't know what it was going to look and feel like. So we wanted it to incorporate my community, local community, through the gym. So when the guys heard that that's what I wanted to do, they said, a guy approached me that had testicular cancer and said, why don't you do a testicular one instead? So I was like, yes, absolutely. So that's what we done. And funnily enough, when we done the calendar, then the women came forward and said, now we've seen it, we can see that it's tasteful, it's professional, that they would be up for doing one in the future. So watch this space.
Oh, right, excellent. So you can be known as the calendar boy,
the girl.
You're not you don't live in Brighton, do you?
No, I'm from Kent.
You're from Kent. And you're involved in the Pride communities there?
Yes. So I'm the director of Swale Pride, the area that I live in, Kent.
Right, fantastic, great. How did you hear about the Sussex Beacon?
So I was aware of Terence Higgins through different Pride events that I've been to and met people that worked there. And then when I started talking, I always knew I wanted to do a second calendar and it was going to be for Terence Higgins. And then when I was discussing it with my friends, one of my good friends that's met Rachel said, why don't you incorporate the Sussex Beacon? And I hadn't heard of the Sussex Beacon before. So I researched, saw all the great work that you're doing, your expansion plans, and I just thought, absolutely, it's definitely a charity that I want to raise money for. Again, for HIV people living with HIV. So I thought, let's do Terence Higgins and Sussex Beacon.
Fantastic. Now obviously we're on the radio, so the listeners cannot hear the calendar. I've got a copy of it in front of me, which you very kindly signed. We'll be giving away this as a competition prize later on. We'll tell you about that in the show. Could you describe the calendar and what is it like?
So the calendar is a mix of implied nude and underwear. So think calendar girls, but with guys. Right. And we've incorporated the red ribbon in honour of World AIDS Day. So it's a mix of pictures. There's myself and 17 other models in it. Great calendar.
So on the back page, you see little thumbnails of all the more. And there's no month which doesn't have, less than one person on it. So you said the 17, and I think you appear in more than one photo. The red ribbon is a theme throughout all the images.
Yes.
And they're beautifully shot. And one of your jobs is actually an underwear model, so this is quite easy for you, isn't it?
Yeah, so on the side I do a bit of underwear modelling through social media. So I've worked with Addicted a couple of times. So Addicted UK supplied all the underwear for the calendar for us, which was obviously great of them. So thank you, Addicted, if anyone's listening.
Yes, thank you. And I think you're sponsored also by Trojan Fitness, is that right?
Yeah, so Trojan Fitness has been great. They have provided us the facilities to be able to fulfil online orders. So thank you, Trojan. And then my good friend Mark at M's Word Photography took all the incredible shots.
Yeah, they really do come out nice, and some of them really are quite tender and loving and thought provoking. So and it's something that you can have on the office wall, isn't it? It's nothing rude at all about this.
No, it's a tasteful calendar.
Yeah,
suitable for any wall.
And it's a good size, and it's A4 size, so it's not. It doesn't take up too much space on your wall. I'm going to have one in my bathroom, I think. What price are they, and where can you get them from?
So they're £10 a calendar plus postage and packaging, which is a couple of quid. And you can purchase the calendar online. So you can visit my Instagram, Swale Pride and Queer Kent Life and Trojan Fitness. So all the links are available, and they'll be available on the Sussex Beacon socials as well. And
we'll put them in on our website and our
brilliant
podcast platform as well. Well, I wish you every success with the calendar and hope you raise lots of money and awareness as well for Terence Higgins Trust and the Sussex Beacon. And yeah, we hope to have you on the show another time and find out how it all got on, and maybe learn more about this another calendar in the works. Thanks ever so much, Jordan.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the HIV Hour 97.2 FM. And if you miss any of our episodes, you can catch up on our wonderful podcast. So, David, over to you.
So yeah, Jordan, it was lovely to meet him, and he'd approached the Sussex Beacon himself. So we do have a calendar. He signed a copy of his calendar, and we're going to give it away as a competition prize. You can get a free copy, and if you buy a copy and raise money for Terence Higgins Trust and the Sussex Beacon, it's £10. There'll be a link on our website, but the competition page on our website is hivhour.org.uk/competition. Good luck, and let's hope you're...
Yeah, good luck, listeners. Yes, it's got a calendar as well, isn't it? It's a nice calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I in it?
It's not on, is it, Sue? It's not on. Maybe we should do an HIV hour calendar.
Are we allowed to keep our clothes on, Josh?
Well, I'm starting the injectables again soon, so I'll be talking about my bottom.
Your bottom.
The return of my bottom.
Get ready for some X-rated shows.
Yes. The late night HIV hour. So a bit of community news. Stephen, you've got a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, so obviously we've got World AIDS Day coming up, and ACT UP are doing an event called This Is Your Life World AIDS Day Special, and it's celebrating activists and pioneers. And it's going to be at the Cinema Museum on Friday the 28th of November at 6:30. The tickets are £5 to £10. And it's celebrating activists and activist icons. If anybody remembers the old This Is Your Life Red Book.
Oh, yes. Thing.
So it's going to be that. So it's going to be a night full of fun and excitement and some music as well. So we'll add the link on our page.
Brilliant.
That sounds good, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, we're all gearing up for World AIDS Day, aren't we? So it's all going to start.
Exactly, in the run-up, yeah. Brilliant.
So I went to the Legends on Sunday because I wanted to raise a glass to my dad's and stuff. And Davina's big birthday bash was on, which was all in support of Lunch Positive. So I saw Gary from Lunch Positive, and they were raising money. So I think they said, in massive thanks to Davina Sparkle, David Polliquette, Legends Brighton, and fantastic artists who generously performed to support Lunch Positive. Cabaret, and they raised £1,642 for Lunch Positive, which
is
So it always makes a difference, and it all goes to the community support for people living with HIV. So well done.
Amazing. Absolutely.
So good. Anything else? Because we're kind of any community news, anything? So what is it? Have we got any, what's happening on World AIDS Day? It's a Monday this year, isn't it?
Well, it is a Monday, yes. So hopefully it'll be bigger and better than last year, because Sunday's always a funny day, isn't it, for things to fall on. So hopefully the Monday will be maybe more events happening, more things going on. But, yeah, we'll keep all our listeners updated and highlighted as they come in.
Yes. A prize will work.
And if you're doing anything for World AIDS Day, please let us know about it, because it's great. You know, email us, tell us what you're doing, if there's any events on, because we would love to shine a light on them.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you need any, you've got any ideas to come on the show, or you want to just be a an interviewer or talk about something. It's always up for it, aren't we? I always like to have new faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
Yeah. No, that'd be, I mean, we could do with some new faces. I know we've got lots of faces. Right. We love us all, but you know.
What is wrong with our faces?
And they're gorgeous, but I'm sure there's plenty of other gorgeous faces out there that could come and do us a turn, and yeah.
I've always liked both of yours, Sue.
Can't take him anywhere.
God, Zoom, you could just grab me, because you can't grab me because I'm not in the studio. So. you could virtually grab me, Sue, in my neck.
Aww.
No, I'm only joking. So we are coming to the end of the show.
Aww.
You all start.
I've finished so much, I can't believe it. There's never enough time on the HIV.
We need more time, don't we? More time for the HIV hour.
Yes. So
I really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you listening, don't we? And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Anyway, waffling on. So we finished with Free as a Bird by Beatles.
Oh, lovely.
Another favourite.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
Bye, cheerio. Everyone.
Take care, everyone. See you soon.
Bye. Oh, God, that was really... That was perfect.
That was perfect timing.
Wow.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the